With a little bit of warm weather that we've been having lately, it might remind you of those hot summer days. When you're thirsty, you're outside working, maybe you're sweating, and you're getting rather thirsty, and you're working on a project and you didn't want to stop to get some water to drink. Maybe you're out baling hay or something, and you're really thirsty. You've been sweating. Maybe you're working at Camp Joy, and boy, you're thirsty. And so anyways, somebody brings you a jug of water. You know, maybe they stop down at the farm first and they visit the manure pile behind the barn and they take some of that manure, dump it in the jug of water. And you say, well, that sounds disgusting. And it is. You know, would you, even if you were very thirsty, would you drink that water? You know, I don't think so. I mean, it would take you pretty desperate before you would even decide to touch that. You know, we recognize there in that situation the value, and not just the value, but the enjoyment of maybe a pure glass of water. You know, the purity of water. Think of maybe the money that's spent in big cities of trying to make sure that their water supply is pure. You know, back when I was in high school, Milwaukee had an epidemic when they had the cryptosporidium that got in the water. You know, when you get, I mean, there maybe people couldn't even see, you know, what was wrong. And maybe it even looked good, but there were impurities. There was a substance, there was something there that had gotten into the water. And purity is something that is extremely important. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verse number 8. It says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you recognize tonight the value of purity? In the physical realm, boy, we would want a pure glass of water. You know, maybe you come into the church and maybe the softener system isn't working and you're kind of thirsty and you press the bubbler and out comes, you know, I don't, if you remember when we really had the bad, you know, sulfur water, it's just like, oh, you know, and you know, some days maybe you'd press the drinking fountain and you'd get water that tasted good. And you're like, oh, good. Today is a good day to get some water. You know, the purity, you know, and in the Christian life here, Jesus Christ says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'd like us to look at a few verses that help us to get a definition or would give us a description of purity. If we go over to the book of Revelation and go to chapter 21. When we think of purity, what do you think of? Revelation 21 verse 18 says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. It says, and the city was pure gold. It says, like unto clear glass. So pure gold. What is it? Gold that is, it's 100%. There's no mixtures in it. There's nothing else. It's 100% gold. Verse number 21 of the same chapter, it says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. It says, as it were, transparent glass. Boy, think of that. Pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. There's no defilements whatsoever in that gold. Chapter 22 and verse number 1. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So imagine that pure river of water of life, nothing defiling. Part of a definition that I saw is pertaining to being clean or free of adulterating matter, clean. Purity. Think of heaven. It describes really what's going to be in the description of heaven. You see a description of purity. Nothing defiling. That gold that says is transparent. You find this pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. And we live in a world in which there is many impurities, many things that would seek to taint a person's life. But the Bible says, blessed are the pure in life, in heart. There is nothing that is defiling. You know, the question is, how is this pure heart developed? So first of all, here we see a definition or a description of purity. But secondly, we'd like to look at the development of this purity. And first step is salvation. You know, in Revelation 21:27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right, who's going to see God? The pure in heart. It says nothing is going to enter in that defileth, but only those that are what? Written in the Lamb's book of life. Salvation is the key ingredient here to purity. Titus chapter 3, I'd like you to turn there. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 and verse number 3. It says, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Here is a life of impurity, a life of sin, a description of us in an unsaved state. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So notice that, the washing of regeneration. All right, there's a cleansing, there's an impartation of new life that takes place at salvation. It says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified, right, we are declared righteous, we are made righteous by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this purity, it requires salvation. A life of sin transformed to a standing in righteousness, to a life of righteousness. It can only take place through the washing of regeneration. Regeneration, a new life. It says in renewing of the Holy Ghost. We must have salvation in order for our hearts to be made pure. But we find as well in the Word of God that there is a sanctification that takes place. There's a continual setting apart, and a believer's ought to grow. There is a act of sanctification, so to speak, a position of sanctification that takes place at salvation, but that sanctification continues. And really the Christian life is one of purity, one of creating environment of purity. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. He says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He says, abstain from fleshly lusts. It says they war against the soul. And there is a battle for our souls. There is a battle for our hearts. God wants purity. The world and the devil is seeking to defile each believer. And he's addressing believers and he says, I beseech you. He says, abstain from fleshly lust. There's a battle. There's a war. They're warring against the soul. And don't give in to that battle. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22, it says, flee also youthful lusts. It says, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. What goes along with that pure heart? Well, fleeing youthful lusts. You know, what ought to be our relationship to youthful lusts? To these desires of the flesh? Should it be one of dabbling in? Should it be one of playing in? Should it be one of seeing how close I can get to it? Well, the Bible says flee. Run from it. You know, don't play around with it. But yet many times the attitudes that we can develop towards these things, you know, somebody preaches on something and instead of getting as far away from it as possible, people want to argue, well, I don't see what's so bad about that. You know, people want to play with it. People want to try to get as close to it as possible. I remember one friend I had in college, he said, I'm trying to think exactly how he put it. You know, a lot of Christians want to get to as close to the line as possible. And he said, I believe in the gap theory. Well, obviously we don't believe in the gap theory from a creation standpoint, okay? But what he was saying is, I believe there's ought to be a big gap there. You know, don't just try to get as close to the line as possible. And the Bible says here, flee, run from them, but then follow after the right kinds of things. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. The Bible says that must be what? It must be guarded with all diligence. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, who has your heart this evening? Is it a divided heart or is it a pure heart? Is it one that God has 100% of? It's pure. You know, if you're going to have a pure heart, God must have 100% of it. If it's going to stay pure, God must have 100%. There's going to be things you're going to have to flee from. You're going to have to recognize the battle that we are facing as believers, as we battle these fleshly lusts that we face. We see there is a demand for purity. You know, purity is necessary. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a what? Out of a pure heart. Charity out of a pure heart. Turn over in light of that, turn over to James chapter 1. So it says the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. And I'll finish the verse in Timothy while you're turning there. And of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now think of James 1:27. It says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. It says to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. All right, so here's pure religion, not maybe religion to try to get something, but to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. It says, and to what? Keep himself unspotted from the world. All right, so there is a charity out of a pure heart. You think of visiting, you know, the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You know, is your charity coming out of a pure heart? Or is your charity only to satisfy your flesh? And going along with that, to keep himself unspotted from the world. So the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. It commands deacons in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 9. It says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Verse 9 is what I wanted. Holding the mystery of the faith in a what? In a pure conscience. All right, this is what God is lifting up. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Purity is necessary for the Christian life. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul declares how he served God with a pure conscience. It says, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Notice 2 Timothy, which we already looked at, verse 22, but verse 21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Then it says, flee also youthful lusts. All right, and so purity is demanded for the Christian life. If we're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, a vessel that is usable in God's sight, purity is demanded. Do you recognize that tonight? You know that even our fitness for service is tied in with our purity before God. You know, why is the devil throwing all these things at us? Why is the devil seeking to get our attention diverted from the things of God? Why is he throwing all these lusts at people? He doesn't want us fit. He doesn't want us meet. He doesn't want us ready, prepared to serve God. Purity is demanded. There is a demand for purity. Fourthly, I'd like us to see the delight of purity. Notice what it said there in Matthew chapter 5. You know, purity is not something, here's a big list of rules and regulations, so I can't do all these things. Boy, I'm going to have a boring life. You know, what am I going to be able to do? Well, what does it say there? Matthew 5, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. See that first word there? Blessed are the pure in heart. The life of purity is the life of blessing. The life of purity is the life of real joy, of true happiness, of the blessing of God. Purity is not something to dread. Purity is something to look forward to. Purity is something to have that can give us joy in our lives. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth not in the way of sinners, that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 32, verses 10 and 11. So we think of blessed are the pure in heart. Psalm 32, verses 10 and 11. Says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. All right, let me read that again. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Verse 11, it says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are what? That are upright in what? In heart. Do you have that purity of heart tonight? Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, in Lamentations, it talks about Jerusalem, the like seemed like the city of joy, and now it's gone. You know, I think it says the joy of the whole earth, or I think it says that in Zion, or in Psalms. And what took place? Well, they sinned. And that glory of Jerusalem was what? Was taken away. But it says here, be glad in the Lord. And rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. There is a delight that is found in purity. But guess what? You aren't going to really know that until when? Until you are pure. You can read it. I guess I should say you're not going to experience it. You can read it. You can know it. But until you decide to follow God's plan, you're never going to experience that joy. You say, well, doesn't seem to me like there's any joy there. Well, God's word says it. And God's word is true. Are you going to believe it? The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Joy is always connected to who? It's always connected to God. In thy presence is what? Is fullness of joy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, even tonight, Lord, if there are areas of impurity where our hearts have gone in a wrong direction, Lord, that tonight we would recognize that true blessedness is found in purity of heart. Lord, it's not found in experiencing the impurities of this world, but it's found when our hearts are and attention are undividedly on you. Lord, tonight may we recognize the blessedness and the joy that are found in following your will and your plan for our lives. Lord, may even tonight we look at our lives. May we look at the choices that we have made to find our delight and realize that only true delight and true joy are found in your presence. And Lord, when we choose to have purity in our lives, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.